The Night Train is brought to you by St Andrews Hotel, 128 Nicholson Street, Fitzroy. Beautifully crafted, cosy and intimate spaces for your drinking and dining experiences.
Their time has arrived. I think last week that 10-man performance in the preliminary final was absolutely exceptional, so I'm going for the Knights.
When you talk of Knights, it's a real fighting team.
Buscock into the back of the net. Melbourne Knights take the lead 1-0. Melbourne Knights will win the Doherty Cup.
Croatia looking for a finals berth. That's it! The Croatia fans salute the goal that could be so vital.
Welcome one and all to the Night Train and FNR Football Nation Radio, where every Monday evening we'll be discussing everything and anything to do with the Melbourne Knights. On tonight's show, we have Juniors and Mini Roos news, a roundup of our FFA Cup win over Fitzroy City midweek, our loss on Saturday night away to Hume, our upcoming fixture this Friday at home versus Dandenong Thunder, and we'll talk about the very exciting mid-season review show we're doing live from St Andrews Hotel next Monday evening. We're also very excited about our special guest in the studio tonight, none other than the illustrious Mate Dugandzic. But first up, a shout out to the sponsors that make our club tick. A huge thank you to our show sponsor, St Andrews Hotel, formerly the Pump House, and Tony Vujic, who is silly enough to back this show every week with these two very questionable characters each and every week. Major sponsor, IND Group, number one ticket holder, Melbourne Croatia Soccer Club, Living Gems Lifestyle Resorts, Melville Bodyworks, and the Australian Croatian Clubs of Melbourne and Geelong. I'm one of your hosts, Rob Spoljar, and thankfully joining me each and every Monday night, here is my co-host, the effervescent Anthony Smallich. Small, really looking forward to next week's show in front of a live studio audience. It's going to be like happy days.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic, mate. The footy show's gone. We're filling the void, mate. So they apparently bit the dust because they heard what we're doing next week, mate. There's going to be a massive crowd out there. Hopefully, if all the technology serves us well, we're going to have a live performance of one, possibly even two songs. We'll see how we go. We've only got a teaser tonight. So at the end of the show, we've just got a very short song. It's not my best work. It was recorded late this afternoon. But
I heard the beginnings of it. I was very impressed.
Next week's the big one, mate. It's going to be, if it's live, bring it.
Shall we say it's a stripped back version, Small?
Yeah, he's probably going to do a bit of a striptease next week, yeah.
You never know, mate. Mick Jagger, mate, do a bit of strutting on the on the stage. But, yeah, mixed bag this week. Huh? We had the high of the midweek FFA Cup game and then the low of the Saturday NPL fixture against Hume. But, you know, maybe the boys were a little bit tired, I think. So we'll see how we go in. And now analysing the performance of the last two games.
Yeah, absolutely. And also joining us here this week, just like he does every week, is the football encyclopedia, Josh Parrish. Josh, welcome to the program once again.
Welcome to you guys as well. It's great to have you in on a Monday night, as per usual, and great to be here on the sidelines, off camera, where you know I can't be implicated in any legal proceedings that might ensue.
Yeah, though we'll make up for it next week. I'm sure it's got to be. I don't know if you're going to get out of it alive. Some of the reports coming out of Fitzroy these days, you might lose an arm. I don't know. And same thing actually with the footy show you were talking about. I reckon they went off air because of all the ethnic violence at the AFL games.
Could be, mate. Could be. I saw some tribalism there. They're probably going to have to start segregating fans, mate. It's going to be. It was like an old Preston Heidelberg game at Collingwood Carlton on the weekend. It was fantastic.
Was there any helicopters on pitch two?
No helicopters at Connor Reserve on pitch two, evacuating the priest from the late 80s that I saw getting evacuated there. But football seems to be facing a bit of a problem, and it's getting a lot more media coverage than what it otherwise has in the past, because soccer seems to have taken the headlines in that regard. And it's even in the headlines today. The bloke at Sydney FC last night with his daughter trying to get her to the toilet, and he was at, I don't know, ejected by 10 police and 4 security guards, apparently, just for...
And followed all the way to McDonald's as well.
Yeah, you get, well...
Disgraceful behaviour. Absolutely disgraceful. You know, or because, what, you're a soccer fan?
Yeah, it could be. Or they realised he was going to McDonald's to get a Happy Meal and get Melbourne City tickets, and they go, let's beat him up before he does that.
Or maybe his head was a bit shaped like a box, maybe. I don't know. Like ours. But, Josh, I have to commend you on the call last week. I was listening to the Preston-Avondale game in the FFA Cup. You did it really, really well. You're like a young Teo Pellizzeri.
Thank you. Always good fun to get out on the road with the help of FNR. And it was a great game too. Preston really gave Avondale a scare and, you know, maybe pinpointed some weaknesses that the Knights can attack next round of the Cup.
Absolutely. I think that'll be coming up on May 29th on a Wednesday night. I think that's the day it's going to... And I have a very good feeling about that game.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to buy your tickets early. Apparently there's going to be a flood of Avondale fans coming down and going to pack out the grandstand. So we need to... get in early, buy a ticket early if you can, or get to the ground early enough so that you can find yourself a seat or a spot in the quarry, because it's got to be a full house.
Oh, I can't even say anything after that. But anyway, Smole, it was a really big weekend for the juniors, especially for the NPL sides, who were away to our very strong sister club, St. Albans Dinamo.
Very true. So thank you, Susie Corlich, again. And also I'll go through the 18s and 20 scores that have been provided by Tom Gavran. Melbourne Knights, so the club officially would like to wish all the mothers a very happy Mother's Day for yesterday. And it was good to see I was out at Brimbank Stallions yesterday with the juniors, and pretty much all the mums came along and they had a photo with the kids. It was fantastic to see them come along for some of the ones that don't often come to games. So that was great. We can't thank our mums enough. Their endless support, encouragement and hard work keep our juniors running. Very, very true, Susie. Our Mini Roos teams, they had a mixed bag of results. Looks like a goal feast for a few of them. Under-10 Kangaroos team proved way too strong against Gisborne, and that was an early start. I'm not sure if it was a 9 a.m. start in Gisborne and a cold morning on a Sunday, Mother's Day, would have been a tough gig for everyone to get there. Round 4, Mini-Roos. Under-7's Rob lost 5-4. Under-7's Peter lost 14-0. Under-8's Ivan lost 8-0. Under-8's Jack lost 5-1. Then you've got Under-9's Luch won 4-0. Under-10 Paul 18-1 victors over Gisborne in that goal feast, as we said. Under-10's Bruno's lost 6-1. Under-11 Damien Wojtek won 3-0. Under-11 Vlad won 6-3, and they're doing fantastically well. The Under-11's girls, Jacob's team, had a bye because they have changed the format or the fixture for the girls there. And the Under-12's girls, coached by Seb, drew 3-all. Round 11 for the NPL teams, and it was, like Rob said, against St Albans Dinamo. Under-12's D lost both. Under-12's S won 1, lost 1. The 13s lost 3-2. The 14s lost 5-2. Then the 15s won 3-0. 16s won 3-1. And I'll go through the 18s and 20s in a minute. The under-12s continue to be very competitive. Heartbreak for our 13s, who missed a penalty in the dying minutes to level the score. The 15s proved too strong and continue their unbeaten 11-game run. The 16s, in a tough physical match, won comfortably 3-1. And I'll get on to the 18s and 20s now. Thank you, Mr. Governor. Temporarily, the 18s have jumped to top spot on the ladder after a hard-fought victory against our friendly rivals, Dinamo. St. Albans sitting back, the boys dominated possession and patiently built up play and were rewarded with a goal after 25 minutes by none other than Tomislav Korlic after a good build-up play by Zoran Šljivić. However, the game suddenly became tougher after a sending-off reduced us to 10 men. In a more even second half, St. Albans equalised from a set-piece, but league top scorer Goran Šljivić scored one of the goals of the season to regain the lead and effectively win the game 2-1. The 20s, so Ben Suri's 20s, stretched their unbeaten run to 4 games with a 2-2 draw against Hume following the senior game to keep us 5th on the ladder. Good possession once again from the 20s, who are playing some good football at the moment, but still lacking the final product at times to reward their good combination play. Goal scorers in that game, Felipe Sanchez and Ivan Šljivić. And a little note there from the under, where was it? The under-18s. Game was action-packed. Straight red for goal scorer Tomislav Korlic late in the first half for a controversial studs-up challenge, which he says where he won the ball and the intention wasn't to hurt the opposition player. So thank you, Tomislav, for the fair play that you showed in the game. Yesterday, even though you might have got a red card, may have looked bad, but... you did the right thing and you've said you weren't intentionally trying to hurt the opposition, and we like to keep good relations with our club from up the road at Fox Street.
Absolutely, we do. And they're doing some great things with the juniors, some really strong kids coming out of Dinamo, and that's great to see some of the talent. And I think, from the 12s up, you're going to see some prodigious talent coming out of Fox Street for sure, just like you will from Dobson Reserve. Let's turn our attention over a little bit to the FFA Cup game that we had against Fitzroy City on Wednesday evening. Fitzroy came out fighting. You know, they came out prepared and they gave it their all, but in the end, a pretty comfortable win, 3-0 win against our friendly rivals from Fitzroy.
Look, it was a danger game. You know, it doesn't matter. Look, you know, what they always say, no matter what the lead ladder positions are, when it's a derby or you know, if there is some sort of spark between the two teams, there's a rivalry of some description. Sometimes a team that is at the lower end of the competition level, I suppose, come out and really want to beat the bigger team and prove themselves on the big stage. But in this instance, we came out 3-0. Hopefully no injuries from what I could understand. And we move on to bigger and better things against Avondale, who will no doubt bring their massive travelling support to Summer Street.
They will. But what was good to see, actually, was a number of people out there. You know, a State 2 team, it just shows it's a great advertisement for the magic of the Cup, where you're playing like a State 2 team and you still got, well, close to 1,000 people, I would have thought. At least 800, I reckon, that would have been there.
And at a neutral venue, so it wasn't at their home ground or our home ground. So it was at a third-party venue, massive crowd for a Wednesday night, school night.
I don't think there would have been that many people at a Richmond, at Kevin Bartlett Reserve for many a year, actually.
Very unlikely, mate. Went to a few games down there, but yeah, it was, look, all hopefully played in very good spirits.
Yeah, it was. I'm still having nightmares from some of the frequencies that were coming across the ground, but but I think I'll survive.
But that was good. But then that led into the normal fixture round. What round were we this week?
Round 12.
Round 12 against Hume.
So we'll go over that. We'll run over the scores in round 12 of MPL Victoria over the weekend. Bentley Greens defeated Port Melbourne at Kingston Heath by 3-2. Dandy City got a much-needed win in their quest to remain in the upper echelons of Victorian football by defeating Kingston City 2-0, a feat that we have yet to achieve. Amazing stat that we have still not beaten Kingston City, the powerhouse. Heidelberg could have managed to inflict Avondale's first loss of the season with that game ending 1-1 at the Olympic Cellar. Altona Magic lost at home to South Melbourne 2-1. Our round 13 opponents were humbled at home by Green Gully losing 2-4, showing signs of a leaky defence that we can hopefully capitalise on this Friday. Oakley finally managed to get another win when they defeated Pasco Vale 1-0 at Jack Edwards Reserve. And of course, after managing to conjure up enough chances to win three matches, we went down to Hume City 3-1 at ABD Stadium. And the ladder as it stands after 12 rounds has Avondale remained comfortably on top of the ladder with 32 points, followed by Heidelberg on 26 points. Bentley are third on 25 points. Green Gully and the Melbourne Knights are on 22 points. Hume City round up the top six on 20 points. Altona are on 19 points. South Melbourne jump to eighth on 14 points. Port Melbourne are ninth on 13 points. And Dandenong Thunder are on 12 points. Oakley and Pasco Vale are on 11 points. And Dandenong City move up a spot on 7 points, with Kingston City last on 6 points. But it just goes to show how close the competition is actually this year, that, you know, South Melbourne wins a game and they go up to 8th spot. So, I mean, Dandenong City could get a run of another 10 wins and still make the 6.
Exactly right. Anything's possible. Every game is a tough game. And, you know, you try and predict it, but then you end up being wrong most of the time. And you thought, you know, midweek game, Knights, maybe there's a bit of fatigue involved in the game on Saturday. But then again, Hume played Heidelberg. They played 120 minutes.
They did.
But we're in the same position. Now, whether or not they used any other players that were, you know, if they had some players that were rested for our game, potentially, but still, to knock off Heidelberg midweek and then come out and beat us on the weekend, they seem to be doing something right of very recent times. But and we were missing Tommy Uskok as well, I think.
We were, yep.
Suspension, so yep. He was a big... would be nice to have him on the park. You know, mature head, played at the highest level in this country, so it's always great to have him around. Yeah. But hopefully we can bounce back. Big game against Dandy on Friday.
It is, yeah, it's a must-win game. But I think what you could take away from the Hume game, unfortunately, is that I think that was 3 points lost rather than Hume winning it, because we could have wrapped up that game in the first half an hour. I think I counted at least 3 1-on-1s. Hamish Watson hit the crossbar, Tiller hit the post in the second half. John had a very good chance just to beat the keeper in the second half as well. We had a 3-on-2 that should have been, we just weren't clinical up front, you know, and that's as simple as that. Another thing to bring up, and I'm sick and tired of bringing it up week in, week out, was the refereeing. It was disgraceful. So Jarn's beaten his defender. He's come out. Okay, he's getting trailed by his defender. And the keeper comes out and just completely takes out Albano on the edge of the box. And you think it's a straight red card and you've got a free kick and you've got to be playing against 10 men. And at that stage, it's 2-1. No, Albano gets a yellow card for diving. I mean, I can't see in what world anyone could interpret that as being a dive.
And I take my hat off to young Luke Jurcic as well, who right at the end, they were really milking the clock.
Yeah.
Human, wasting time and throwing the ball away and all sorts of things. And he kept his head. I'll tell you what, if that was a provisional league and you're playing against Melbourne Tornado at Newmarket Reserve, that bloke that threw the ball away would have had two
studs in his back.
Yeah, he'd be having the bone grafts and the pins put in the arm as well, I reckon, because that was horrible to watch. And then I watched the St Albans Springvale game as well via the YouTube, and the time wasting that took place and the referees just let it go. And it's so frustrating. It's frustrating watching it from your couch, let alone being at the ground and participating in the game. Lucky people keep a level head. That's why I don't play anymore.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, and just hearing it from everywhere, and I know it's easy to look at the referees and you know, criticise them and everything, but it just happens too often. And I'm hearing it from the girls' team even last week. You know, Preston and the Melbourne Knights in the girls' game said the refereeing wasn't up to standard. You know, it's happening week in, week out in a competition that, you know, probably deserves a better level of refereeing. And I'm not sure why it needs to be brought up every week as a factor that's affecting the game. So, I mean, after that win, the keeper 100% should have gotten red carded, because I even heard some rumours that the keeper apologised to Albano after the game saying, sorry, I took you out, you know. So anyway, and they come in and score, you know, 30 seconds after that. So you've affected the game. You've ruined the game. You know, your influence on the game, we shouldn't be talking about referees. A good referee is one that at the end of the game, you never bring him up, you know. Anyway.
VAR coming to a NPL league near you. Do it off the live stream. Just, you know, the commentators just click back on the video and give the referee a little
Well, it's all being live streamed anyway, so yeah. You could do it.
The evidence is there. I flicked on the live stream just before Albano got his knees taken out by the keeper. I couldn't believe it. He was sandwiched between the defender and the goalkeeper. Yeah. How that was called a dive was just absolutely beyond me. I mean, refereeing is not easy.
It's a really difficult job.
Especially when you've got both sets of players and fans, you know, barking at you the whole time, and there's pressure on these decisions. But that was a pretty substandard piece of officiating, which you don't expect to see it at this level.
No, absolutely. And as Mark Ivkovic points out, if everyone knows the referee by his first name, which everyone did because they just kept calling out to him the whole game, it just goes to show how poor you are. The best referees are the ones that get unnoticed, and I think that's absolutely correct.
And look, Monivrano has asked for Bruno, the ref, to be demoted to the A-League. Thank you, Luca. And we've got a couple of messages coming through, but if you'd like to call in, so we're going to have start chatting with our special guest Marty in a minute. If you'd like to call in, 9944 9999. If you'd like to text 0428 933 345, you can also jump on the Facebook Melbourne Knights Facebook page and shoot through texts that way as well. But Tony Coulter, he loves the referees, he says. He thinks they do a fantastic job. Not sure if Tony's ever refereed in the past, but we've got a couple of refs in our community who do a pretty good job, I reckon, as well. But then he's also said that Rob Hunrella would have made a great referee, but midfield creativity was his strength. So we'll see whether or not that is the case. But speaking of suspensions to key players and looking at some others that may be suspended or injured, we're a pretty handy pickup now. Someone in this studio was fighting fit, ready to go, 29 years of age, travelled the world, played at the highest level in this country, to be able to slot straight into that starting lineup if it was possible. Looks as fit as a fiddle. He refused the fried chips that were handed to him earlier. He says, nah, mate, I'm an athlete. Marta Dugancic, welcome to the night train, mate.
Thanks for having me.
No worries, mate. Like I said, 29 years old, 22 October 1989, spring chicken compared to most of us. Started your career, St Albans. You basically live across the road there, or you did. Were coached by an illustrious coach in your junior days, who might or might not be listening. From the Saints, came across to the Knights, and then in 2009, Melbourne Victory, says here, youth career, but then senior career started earlier than that. the Melbourne Knights 2006 and 7, and then a big overseas move 2008 and 9, Dinamo Zagreb. Spent some time at Lokomotiva as well on loan. Melbourne Knights again, Melbourne Victory, Melbourne City. So were you the first player ever to switch between those two city rivals?
Directly, yes. There were a couple of players that had played for both clubs prior.
But in between, they were somewhere else?
Yes.
So you were like a Robert Prosinecki, didn't you go? Did you go to Real and Barcelona, or was that someone else I'm thinking of?
I'm just remembering at Barcelona. I don't remember him at Real.
It was Figo.
Figo. Ronaldo, the old fat Ronaldo. He swapped, swapped clubs. Adelaide United, where you won a championship, and then 2017. Hopefully it's not the last entry we see on Wikipedia, but Dandenong City there playing again. So you've basically played at all three of the Croatian NPL clubs that are around at the moment. Is there any chance of a comeback, mate? What do we reckon? Is there anything that we can do? We can talk to people. I know some people who you just need to visit after hours and they might be able to get you right to go if injuries are the thing.
No, looking very, very unlikely. I did train at the Knights. Would have been probably about 5 or 6 weeks ago. Mickey was good enough to have me down for just a couple of weeks. I wanted to test out the body, see how I was feeling, do a little bit of cardio training, but pulled up a little bit sore. So unfortunately, I think my playing career is over.
You've had 6 weeks to recover, so you'll be back at training tomorrow night. Mickey, just get the physio ready. We're right to go. So you debuted with the Knights as a 16-year-old in 2006. 2007 played an important role in helping the club secure second spot in the Victorian Premier League. And we were talking about that earlier because I asked you, did you manage to wear one of these strips in your time at the Knights? And you said that was just after you'd left and gone overseas.
Yes, yes. So that was 2008, that top. I do have a colourful one, the red, white and blue one at home, sitting on my desk. But unfortunately, I was never able to wear it in a match.
You probably don't want to wear it.
But without doubt, the most controversial home kit we ever had, I think.
Yeah, I put it up there.
Along with one of the Ollie Roos strips, I think, back in the Preston. Preston had a shocker back in the day, the old Miko Holdings.
They did.
You look at back now, what a great top.
It's got nothing on the new Juve kit.
Oh,
haven't seen it.
Apparently, the stripes look too much like an American referee, and they're struggling to sell jerseys in the US, so they've absolutely demolished the old kit, and it's a travesty.
Oh, okay. And Eddie Maguire, I think, also had a sook and said they can't wear the stripes at home games.
Very important.
So Dinamo Zagreb, you move across and you went across, or was someone already there that you knew here from Melbourne that was joining you in your trip over there?
Yes. So I went over, I was actually at schoolies when I got the call. I was down in Lawn and I got a call saying, you've got to go to Dinamo Zagreb for a trial in about 3 days' time. So my brother and mum picked me up, drove all the way down to Lawn, 2.5 hours, picked me up, and next thing you know, I was on a plane a couple of days later to visit an old friend, even Knights player, Daniel Visovic, who was already there, who had been there for a number of weeks prior to me coming. Trial for 2-3 weeks just prior to Chrissy. Did well along with Dane, and we were able to get signed up. So it was a nice experience, great experience as a teenager. But it was an eventful year when we were there.
Did you know that was on the cards at all, or did that just come out of nowhere?
It really came out of nowhere. So, I was on schoolies, that's all I'm going to say. So I was enjoying myself whilst I was down there, and I was not expecting it at all. So it came out of left field.
You thought you took the wrong pill.
I it happened about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so it wasn't too bad.
I was at schoolies last year. I got the call if I can play for Melbourne Tornado this year's soccer tournament.
But I mean, you've gone from as a junior at St Albans Dinamo, and then you've got an opportunity to go to Dinamo Zagreb. I take it you're a Dinamo fan.
Yes.
I mean, what that must have been an amazing feeling to be sitting on a plane and you're going to Maksimir there to try out.
Yeah, I literally just finished my VC, so 18 years old, just turned 18, didn't even have my license at the time, and it was a surreal experience, yeah, jumping on the plane by myself, just thought, go over there, we'll suss it out, see how we go. I was more using it just as an experience, a life lesson, if you will. Didn't expect to get anything out of it, but fortunately, they threw us in straight away. When I arrived, trained with the first team football, with the first team there, and you know, you got the likes of Modric, Mandzukic, all these boys there. It was very, very surreal. Only being able to watch them, and even then, just from afar, internet wasn't the best. It wasn't really great back in the day. But yeah, just to get that experience and that there, it was unbelievable.
Now, Daniel Dragovic says that you are his inspiration. He also said you've got a head for radio and NK Bunker's newest signing. So everyone looks like he's trying to jump on board and get Marte on there. So you were most recently a Dandy. Do you keep tabs much on the NPL? Do you? It's obviously now on all the social media, Facebook, YouTube, etc. You can watch every game at any given time, even at the same time. Do you keep tabs on your old clubs or just across the board?
Yeah, without a doubt. I watch quite a bit of games. I tend to watch Dandy a lot because I've got a lot of friends, obviously, that still play there and do tend to watch the Knights games as well. Caught a bit of the game on the weekend. As you said, it was an unfortunate number of chances, which were... weren't able to put away. And
there was plenty of sprint efforts, though.
Sprint efforts.
There was plenty of sprint efforts, but still couldn't get the win, the sprint efforts.
No. But, yeah, I do, without a doubt. I've still got quite a number of friends that play at all different sides, so I've always have a look at Football 24 to see the live scores, see what's going on.
Now, one of your former teammates at Dandy, you said you caught up with recently, and we just popped into my head that maybe we can get him on as a guest, but Ljubo Milicevic. So you caught up recently. How's he going? Is he still having a kick, or is he into other ventures?
Or planting fruit trees.
I'm not too sure. Yeah, you know, he's not playing football anymore. He's enjoying himself, I think, up in Sydney, living on the beach in Byron, just enjoying life, I think, at the moment. And he's in a good place, and he seems to be like he's enjoying life at the moment, so it's good to see.
Now you let us know when he's back in Melbourne at any stage, and if he's around on a Monday night, we'll get him into the studio and we can have a chat with him as well.
Most definitely, I'll let him know.
No worries. All right, so then, Lokomotiva. Now, I understand, was it at Lokomotiva when you got that fairly serious injury that may or may not still be a bit of a effect on you?
Yes. So, well, the first 6 months were spent in the junior team at under-19s at Dinamo Zagreb, which was great. We think we won a couple of tournaments, whatnot.
Any notable players in that squad that you're with?
I think majority, the Dinamo system's a little bit different. I think once you get to that 18 years of age, their sister club, Lokomotiva, was already playing in the third division at the time where Daniel was, and a lot of their top-tier juniors were already playing at Lokomotiva at the time, even though they were of age for the 19s. So I think you had Milan Badel, Tomachak, Bagaric, a few of the boys who had played at a decent level and played a number of games at Croatian First League. They were already there. So the only players that were in the junior team was Mateo Poljak, actually, former West Sydney player, and Pivotic of, yeah, they were probably the only two real noticeable guys in that team at the time. Okay. But yeah, then to Lokomotiva for that second 6 month of the year. And yeah, picked up a couple of injuries to the same ankle within a 2-3 week time frame. And it was a bit of a tough time, I think, during that period for me.
Because it looked like you're flying there. I mean, looking at your stats, 14 games and 6 goals, not a bad return.
I don't know who's written that. I don't even think I got into the park 14 times. Definitely didn't score 6 goals, if that's the case, unless you're talking about training goals. But I like it there. I like it there. It doesn't seem too bad.
You know, you can edit it yourself, mate. Add a couple more on there.
Yeah, why not?
I've done it before. I think I'm on Nikolai Volkov's Facebook page there.
So, I reckon it was someone from Lawn, from that festival you were at. That
Potentially.
But it says here also you were considered a European player due to your Croatian citizenship. So did you ever get approached by anyone in the Savis saying, what do you reckon, you come play for the national team?
Well, that was me and Daniel were there. That was a bit of an issue. I think we wanted our citizenship whilst we were there, but the club never actually got it for us. I got my citizenship would have been 3 or 4 years ago after I had to do my test.
You had to sit the... Yeah,
I had to sit the test, the multiple choice question test. So whilst I was there, no, I didn't have Croatian citizenship. I was a foreigner, so no approach by the Federation at all from there.
And then you made your way back, you came back to the Knights, and then Melbourne Victory, so the new A-League. How did you find that? Was it before that, what did you do you think, differently, other than your talent, obviously, that gets you noticed so you can get a call up from overseas and go to a Dinamo Zagreb and a Lokomotiva and eventually into the A-League? Was there anything you think you did above and beyond for all the kids that are listening out there? And we've got a lot of kids at Knights Juniors and otherwise who tune in, and they're usually very interested to know what... You were very close to Dinamo's ground. You were right there at Churchill Reserve across the road. You would have spent a fair bit of time there. Did you get there as much as you possibly could and kick a ball against a wall? Were you kicking tennis balls, what was your secret?
Yeah, without a doubt. I was fortunate enough to be blessed with an older brother who was 5 years older than me, so I had him to sort of compete against, whether it be just backyard football or even going for a kick at Dinamore. I always sort of saw him and thought, you know, I've got to beat him, I've got to beat him, I've got to beat him. So never really got to that stage, because I think once I got to the stage where I could beat him, he sort of just binned it. He just gave it away and just thought, and I'm not going to lose to my younger brother here. But yeah, so Dinamore, I was thankful. It was literally 5 houses away. So whenever I did have the opportunity, I'd go there, go for a run, go for a bit of a kick every chance I got. So yeah, I was pretty determined to try and just better myself.
And speaking of this brother that's 5 years older than you, did his coaching almost cost you your career, or did he actually improve you and make you into the star that you became later on down the track?
I don't know about star, but definitely, no, he was a good coach. He helped us quite a bit. I think we had a team of rejects in the under-15s Super League. I think we literally had about 6 or 7 guys from the starting 11 that didn't make other Super League sides. So we ended up finishing third that year, so we did pretty well. So he wasn't a bad coach.
So we can call him Pep from now on. We can turn garbage into gold, basically. But competition. So we started talking about it earlier before the show started. We didn't actually pick a competition question.
No, we didn't, but I'm sure you've picked one in the meantime.
Now, what year, if Wikipedia is correct, what year was Marte called up into the Australian under-23 side by coach Aurelio Vidmar for a Four Nations tournament held in Vietnam? So what year was it that Marte was called into, what was it, the Oli Roos? Is that the under-23 team?
Yeah, technically called.
Yes. What year was it that Marte? Now, a phone call, like we always do, gets precedence and will most likely win the competition if you ring through the answer, 99 94 99 99. No doubt we'll get plenty of texts and messages on Facebook as well, but phone call so we can have a bit of a chat with you and you can ask any questions of Marte if you like as well, or myself and Spolge. So what year was Marte called up to play for the under-23s Australian team?
And that's for your chance to win a $100 voucher to St. Andrews Hotel, formerly the Pump House, which I don't think you'll be able to use next week, because next week there's a special for members, which is 50% off.
That's
all
right.
Food and beverages. So, I mean, if that is not an incentive, I don't know what is.
Get on it. Date night. Sorted. There you go. Just don't have to tell the missus it's 50% off. You just go for the most expensive thing and you only pay half the price. Fantastic.
That's right. Go you look nuts. Like a hero.
No worries. Melbourne Victory. So spent a bit of time there, switched across to City, and then you did win a championship with Adelaide. What was it like there? That was, you know, after that, obviously you see that you've come back to Dandy City, but what was it like in Adelaide, moving again, moving from Melbourne, leaving the family behind and getting into a new city, new people?
Adelaide as a city is quaint, nice, small.
I was in Bendigo today, mate, so I know exactly what you're talking
about. It was good. It was good. Football was really good. We had a quality side. Changing room was unbelievable. Boys sort of stuck together, even though I think that start of that season, we had the first 8 games, we hadn't won a game. I think it was 3 draws and 5 losses, but boys sort of stuck together. We knew what we needed to do, and I think we ended up going on a run of about 17 games where we unbeaten. I think we had the most clean sheets ever, A-League history as well. So it was a real, real tight group. I probably didn't play as much as I would have liked, but that's simply because the boys in my position were doing fantastically well. Bruce Kamau, Craig Goodwin, I think it was Pablo Sanchez who kept on scoring whenever he was coming off the bench, and Sergio Theria. So I couldn't really say much. Whatever opportunity I got given was just more so when they were getting fatigued close to the end of the game, because they were, whenever they were playing, they were on fire, and I just pretty much had to sit back and more so hope for an injury than anything else. But they were fit and they were firing, and you know, they did really, really well, and as a team they lifted up everyone, especially in that attacking third.
Who was your coach at the time? Was it Joseph?
No, it was Guillermo Amor.
Okay. Because I was going to ask if you understood anything said. That's all.
Did you understand anything that Guillermo Amor said? I think I remember he was like very quiet in press conferences. Was he a bit different in the changing rooms?
A little bit more vocal. I suppose when he was getting interviewed, he was a little bit more timid. He had Paul, his assistant there, who could speak English and quite well. Whereas him, he wasn't as confident, I suppose, in the English language as others have been in the past.
Just as a point of difference, Victory and City and Adelaide United, was there something different other than, you know, your locker room culture?
Yeah, I suppose when I was at Victory, the league was still fairly new, but the level of professionalism I had there was really high. A lot of sports scientists, a lot of physios, and the club was run and was the club and the standard. They just won the final year prior to me coming, and we'd lost the grand final on penalties to Sydney that first year that I was there. So the level of professionalism of Victory was fantastic. They had the Olympic Park sort of facility. They had Amy Park as well, which was just opened. The change rooms and the base was all underneath the stadium there. And Hart was a little bit different. They were still a new club. It was their second season. So that sort of level of professionalism and wasn't there just yet. I suppose with whatever money was given to La Trobe Uni, yeah. Pitch was fantastic. Coaches, lads were fantastic as well. But the amount invested probably wasn't as much as Victory at the time. But when City came along, it was massive. It was a big change, and a lot of things changed when they came in.
Did it freak you out wearing Red Star colours when you were at Hart?
I don't know. You had to ask JD about that. It wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad. I think that's why they decided to go for the River as well. The River kit on the away side, on the away kit. So it wasn't too bad.
It was much nicer kit.
Yeah.
For the now probably older kids, we can call them, listening as well. Did you say you were trialled as at Newcastle Jets as well at some stage? Was that very early on?
So during that year that after Lachlan Motiva came back to the Knights, I trialled at Wellington Phoenix and the Newcastle Jets at that period. Wellington Phoenix, I was there for about a week or so, but I was there and then they had the Confederations Cup, I believe, so New Zealand had made it. And Ricky Herbert was there, coach of Wellington at the time, with half the players pretty much. 2 days after I arrived, had left for the Confederations Cup. So why I went at that time was not really, it was beyond me. I think I'd played one friendly game and they played me as a nine, as a target man up top, and I really didn't do much. I was against one of those local sides there, and I think boys were sort of saving themselves for the Confeds Cup as well. So we didn't necessarily have a full squad. So I was there, I think they saw me for 2 days and that was about it. They said, thank you very much for coming, and upped up the frequent flyers, but that's all that trip was for. And yeah, at Newcastle as well would have been during that period. It was different. I was there again for a week, and I was supposed to play in a friendly game. I think we played against Sydney Olympic on the Wednesday or the Thursday when I got there, but didn't even make it on the park for some reason. Not sure whatever the reason was. I think there was a bit of inner sort of politics going on at the Jets at the time, and I went up as a favour for a person, and there was just inner fighting, and then they just decided not to play me. So that was a bit of an average sort of trip as well.
Yeah, but most of the time when you went out to these trials, did you go on your own, or did somebody come up with you?
Nah, just by myself.
Yeah?
By myself, yeah.
So and how did you prepare for that? Now, being a young bloke, getting called up, going into a completely new environment? Mentally.
Mentally, you just try and approach it with no fear. I suppose as a youngster as I was at the time, I didn't have any fear. I didn't know the implications of something that could go wrong. I just viewed it as another opportunity to try and strut my stuff, if you will, try and make it to the professional league. So I just prepared as I would any sort of other game, ate the right things, did the right things, got as much sleep as I possibly could have, and you know, just did what I needed to do to get my body right.
There you go, young boys listening out there in the 18s, in the 20s, in the 15s, 16s, take note. The bloke that's been there, been overseas, been here, he's trialled, he's been through it all. If you ever need to get in touch, no doubt you'll be a mentor, I suppose. You're basically now, you can mentor a lot of these young kids that you may know along the way. That'd be fantastic. What about any coaching ambitions?
I did. I touched on coaching last year at Dandy City, under 20s. Which is a great experience as well. Something that, again, was new. It was a new experience to me last year, and unfortunately, probably didn't do as well as we would have liked. We had a good stretch of games. Started off the season pretty poorly, but I had a good stretch of games through the middle where we were unbeaten, taking on the top teams and doing really well. And then, unfortunately, close to the end of the year, we fell off again. And it was nice, and I really enjoyed coaching, and I definitely will do it again. But this year, heading off overseas for 6-7 weeks, I didn't want that to sort of interrupt any sort of team that I was coaching this year, because as a player, if a coach leaves halfway through the year, you're not necessarily going to be committed to whoever comes in. And I just thought it's best me just step away for the year, let the kids play, let them enjoy themselves, and let myself enjoy myself as well for this season.
Done these licenses or whatever it is these days?
Yeah, so I've pretty much completed my C, completed my B. All I've got to do is send the assessment in for my B. And then I believe there's an A-license course coming up at the end of the year. So I'll have sussed that out and decide whether or not I'll be doing that in the next couple of months.
There you go, mate. Could be the youngest coach in one of the higher leagues, hopefully in Australia, mate. You're only 29 years of age. You get your A-license. Coaching the Socceroos soon, mate, because I don't think they'll be doing too much. It might be a vacancy very shortly there. But we've got a couple of more messages. So Darko Balaban, there you go, on Darks. Great job, guys. Inspirational for the Croatian community all round from Darko there. So you'd know him from Dandy and otherwise. Ante Starčević sends his regards from Melbourne as well for Mate. And Luka Munivrana asking, Mate, what do you think? Does the A-League need promotion relegation? And also, would you like to see the Knights back in the top flight?
Before you answer that, I do think we have a winner of our competition.
Oh, well, we've at least got a talkback call. Whether they're going for the competition, I'm not sure. But Alyosha is on the line.
Alyosha, well, let's open up the doghouse for Alyosha.
Yeah, let's get some music for it as well. I think we've got to give it the full treatment for this one.
In tonight's special feature, we hear their thoughts on where the game has been and where it's heading.
You can't handle the truth.
You want really to say something?
Open up the doghouse. Open up the doghouse.
We've opened up the doghouse for you, Alyosha. You're on the air now.
Hello, boys. Woof, woof.
Good evening, Alyosha. How are you going?
Oh, very good, Robert. I'm back in country, but not say anything. Tony Mokbel, bring me back.
Push
the boat, you know? He bring me back. He send me secret undercover.
Yeah, what's your secret undercover job?
I can't collect my money from Dominic the chemist, you know, the walk boy.
Alyosha, I just really like to ask you to maybe curb your language, because we do have kids listening,
sorry.
And we don't have a dump button.
Sorry, kids, sorry.
But Alyosha,
sugar.
Yeah, sugar, yeah, absolutely sugar. But we've actually managed to go without swearing for about a good 11, 12 weeks, and you've ruined that for us. But I think people that saw you coaching on the sidelines wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
Yes, that's true. Yes, I got very short temper. Referee, like my friend Lucas, I must be the motion to A-League.
Okay, fair enough. So do you actually have an answer to our question, or you just called
No. No, I just want to say hello. And if Mickey, listen, I got it advice. You know, before I come to Australia, that nobody know, I talking to Ciro Blažević. You know that one?
I know that one.
He gave me one tactic. He said, you know that video he had on the YouTube? He said, na centru fortu, if you push everybody forward, it's a very chedres perveko švabe.
Yes, I do. Yes, I remember that video, yeah.
Mickey, you must push everybody forward. Attack like Germany.
Well, I think we did actually on the weekend, but still didn't manage to put it in the back of the net, but, you know.
Maybe nice need to buy that Turkish one, that's Melbourne, the new one, buy, you know. That means the Turkish man they buy.
I'm not sure which one you're referring to.
Oh, you don't know. Yeah, that Western United by somebody, some Turkish man. I think he's working kebab shop somewhere in northern suburbs, but they say he scored a goal. But he's not played 3-4 years. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that player's about as well known as their star signing from Greece that they got over there for next week.
Yeah, Costa something. He's got the whole alphabet last name.
So are we going to look forward to seeing you down in Altona Way, down at the Pier Pizza Place?
No, likely. You know, I'm actually in Bondi with Ljubo Milicic, my coffee.
You make a good coffee?
Very good. But not as good as one Piccolo in Altona or Williamstown, where I used to sit and talk tactics with my player with Dejan.
Maybe not quite as good. As the Julius Meinl, though, because that one's soft, smooth.
Nije on za nogomet.
Ko nije za nogomet? Dejo.
A nije, hvala Boga, nije. Well, anyway, boys, I just want to say hello, and that's the tactic for Mickey. If you listen, push forward. Must be push, attack.
Well, there you go, Mickey Cholino. If you're listening, there's some wise words from your predecessor there, Alyosha.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much. I go back and make coffee for me and Hugo and my mother. A little bit canoodle and, yeah.
Okay. Well, enjoy your canoodling and thanks for the call.
No, thank you.
So, back to Marta anyway. Actually, well, it just means that the competition's still open. 99, 99, 99. What year did Marta enter the Oli Roux camp? What with the fold, let's say. But anyway, so look, you've gotten a lot of perspective. You've played NPL / VPL football. You've gone through Dinamo Zagreb Academy, and you've played A League. How does that all differ, and perspectives on football, and is there, how did you find the changes from going from one to the other?
It was different. There are massive levels of professionalism all throughout. I think when I was still, prior to moving overseas to Dinamo, I was just at the Knights, and VPL is probably, there aren't as many sprints as there are back, you know, now as there were as back in the VPL days with Knights. But going over there, football in Crows is just different. Football's the number one sport there. Here, we have to compete with football, AFL, cricket, basketball, whatever it may be, and the funding and all the money involved here, and the fact that the kids just want it that much. That's the main difference, I think, to Croatian football than it is here in Australia. When I was there, you could watch the under-12s train, and the way they were playing and the way they were training, they were there four times, five times a week. They're 10, 11-year-olds. And the fact that the intelligence and the football knowledge and the technical sort of aspect that they had back then, is you can't fathom that compared to the kids here. And it's, I don't know, you just can't compare it. They live and breathe it over there than to here. And I think then coming back here and playing VPL again, it was different. It was different. There, I was a professional athlete, if you want to call it that. Coming back to studying and then playing part-time again and then making the step up again to the A-League, it was a new experience, a real experience for me. But the amount of level of dedication, I think, throughout the course of my career just changed drastically from club to club as well. And you can sort of see that. And I think throughout the course of the 7 years of the A-League that I was there, you can see the sciences, the technical sort of aspect of the league increased massively from when I first started to the end as well. And then that sort of last year, coming back into semi-professional football with Dandy, it was a great experience, something that I really enjoyed because it wasn't the sort of pressure that is put upon you from in a professional sort of aspect. And it was great. And we had a great year. We had a great side, unfortunately. It wasn't to be at the end of the year playing against the Knights. But we had a great year. Injuries sort of cost us. But, yeah, comparing VPL, our NPL to VPL, it's chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
I know there was, I suppose the VPL when I was playing in, I think it was 06 would have been the last year. Oh, no, sorry, 09. There were still a number of players that had played NSL at that level, though. You still had, like, Damianos. Chaga was still there. Salamasi, Henry Ferrodo. Juan Nilo, you had Sturgopoulos, all these boys that had played at NSL level and were quality. So I think back VPL days, 07, 09, the years that I played, the technical aspect was a lot higher. I want to say higher, but it was different to what it is now in the NPL. NPL football is great and there is some sort of level of professionalism, but it is, I don't think you have the quality of the sort of players that they had back 10, 15 years ago, I think. There are a number of boys that had played A-League now and that are coming down, and that's great to see. But even then, the A-League's it's very much a recycled league now.
Yeah,
players tend to go from club to club, and there are a lot of players in the VNPL that are good enough to play, but they'll never get their opportunity because there are only 10 teams in this league, and
yeah,
there's 20, 23 players so 200 to 230 players in this league, they're not going to get given an opportunity, which is unfortunate. Because I think you touched on second league before.
Time for promotion, yeah, exactly. Relegation.
Well, that's the whole thing. What Luca Munivran was bringing up, and that was a question I was going to ask you as well, because you've been part of all of those systems, the NPL system, VPL, A-League. Do you think it's time to open up the A-League for promotion relegation, or do you think that the A-League just needs to expand? What's your perspective on all of this?
I think there definitely needs to be promotion and relegation in the top tier of Australian football. Whether it be now, I don't believe now is the right time for it. I think we need to increase the league prior to actually doing that. I think if you look at it financially, every club out of the 10 teams, I'm going to say probably two run a profit. Yeah. And the club and the FFA pretty much give the salary cap to every single team. They give them $2.8 million, I think, at the start of every single year. So if clubs are running at a deficit every single year and you want to bring in promotion relegation, as good as it is for football and as fantastic as it would be for those players that are good enough to play in a sort of in a professional league, it's probably not sustainable at the moment. I think the league needs to increase to probably about 14 teams and potentially even 16 teams before that were to come in. And I don't know. I don't think that's going to be happening anytime soon, unfortunately.
Do you think that a second division needs to be set up in tandem with this and so to get a rhythm or so happening before it opens up for a promotion relegation? Or do you think a second division should be opened up and promotion relegation eventually happens immediately?
Yeah. The model would be very intriguing. I don't think even FFE know what they're doing with the NPL sort of system. I fear it's changing again. Yeah. So to implement something on a national level as well is something that I'd be very hesitant to do, especially, you know, creating that second league. I think, yeah, fantastic. I think it should get done. But the fact is, you're even looking now, the National Youth League, that's split into two conferences now. Mm-hmm. So the New South Wales teams don't have the trouble. They just carry by bus from club to club. Mm-hmm. So if they're sort of restricting the youth of the country and not providing the youth with the amount of sort of quality time, yeah, and quality
competition.
Yeah, yeah. That I think even I don't think the FFA are even looking or even considering a second league at the moment.
They just come out in the papers and say it every now and then just to keep the natives happy, I suppose, and we jump on board and think something's going to happen, but usually it doesn't. But
we've got another caller on the line. I think I might want to have a crack at the competition, so let's get some music for that. Yes, young Delia is on the line. Welcome to the Night Train.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello.
How are you going?
Good.
Do you know the answer to the question of when Marte was called up into the under-23 Australian side, mate?
Yes, I do.
What's the answer, buddy?
2010.
2010? That's what it says on Wikipedia. Marte, is that correct?
I'm going to have to agree with that. I have no idea. I don't have an idea.
2010 it is. So you are the winner of the $100 St. Andrews Hotel voucher.
Yay! Yeah, my dad's going to use it.
So what was your name again?
Ilya.
Ilya, how old are you?
Seven.
Do you play soccer?
Yes.
And who do you play for?
Melbourne Knights.
Of course, mate. Of course.
And what's the greatest team in the world?
Melbourne Knights.
Very well answered. Good on you, Ilya.
Correct answers to all of the questions here.
Yeah, correct. Absolutely. And they should get a bonus. Just remember, don't give it to your parents, all right? The voucher's yours. You can eat as much chips and gelati as you want.
Dad works too much overtime to get down to St. Andrews anyway. Thank you very much, Ilya. Good luck for the season playing at the Melbourne Knights and enjoy the voucher when you can take out your teammates, I think. Get Dad to drop you off with your teammates and have some ice creams and things, $100 worth of goodies, mate.
That's a good idea, Pedro.
Thank you, Dave. No worries, leave you. We've got your details. That's no dramas whatsoever. But well done to young Ilya there for winning the competition this evening on episode 14. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
And well done to Doug's and Tonna for bringing up their child right. But as we do run out of time, we need to touch on a few things before we end the program. And one of those is that we're playing Dandenong Thunder this Friday night at Knight Stadium at 7:45 p.m. As always, interestingly, we do have three home games in a row. So we've got Dandenong Thunder this Friday. Then following Friday, we've got the second half of the competition, actually. So we play Oakley again at home, again on 7:45, which actually means I believe the transfer window opens tomorrow. So something, we're waiting with bated breath for all of those signings and see, because the competition, it's probably two halves. It really is, because they're two different competitions, because the teams get changed up quite a bit. I heard a rumour. We've heard a number of rumours about some of the players that are coming through, but I heard one rumour after the successful Kabaddi World Cup that Roy Krishna's coming over to the Melbourne Knights. So I'm really looking forward to that one. But no, there are some players that we've heard on the traps, but we can't reveal any of those until next week's show. And next week's show is a big one, because we've got the mid-season review at St. Andrews Hotel, 128 Nicholson Street. You'd think I'd know that off by heart, and I do.
It's one in Fitzroy, not far from the exhibition buildings there, just across the road.
Yeah. So it's going to be a special two-hour episode, starting a little bit earlier at 7:30 p.m., going through to 9:30 or 10. I don't know. Look, it depends how many wines we have and if Tony Vujic gets the Grangers out for the boys. But I think it's going to be a massive night.
Look, I'm getting a little bit nervous now, mate, because you need to get up every week and perform when you're just in the studio. But being in front of a live studio audience, mate, we'll see what we're made of, I guess. But we're hoping, like I said, to do a live performance of a song rather than the recorded one. Otherwise, I'll have to lip sync and we'll see how that goes. But plenty of guests, and there is another campaign starting, hashtag Bring Tuller. So is Mark Talaich going to be on the show? I texted him just before the show started to ask him once again. We are doing our very best to get Mark Talaich onto the show. He's an absolute cult hero at the club, and I'd love to have him join us on Monday night there, maybe have a feed beforehand, and we'll talk about whatever Mark wants to talk
about. He has to join us there. If he doesn't, we're going to get a massive cardboard cutout of his head, and we're going to have an interview and answer the questions for him.
We'll have to call Vizzy, mate. We need a lot of cardboard.
Yeah, the great way to encourage him to come on the show.
We will be having it. We'll be going live on Facebook. I believe it may also be going live via YouTube.
Yes.
That may well be a possibility, but definitely live on Facebook. Thank you, Matty Pavlinovich, our very, very loyal listener from all the way over in the Midlands. And also, Nev Kolakusic has asked whether everyone's asking for a transfer. He wants you at North Geelong. So you haven't been there yet. You've been to Dinamo Knights and Dandy. North Geelong looks like they're the last stop before you go on to your illustrious coaching career.
What about Zada Tornado as well?
For the tournament, maybe you can just jump on board for the tournament. You're not 35 yet, mate. You've got a long way to go. And you're not 100-plus kilos, so you've got plenty of work to do there. But, yeah, the show, you know, people have been RSVPing. Yeah. There will be an official flyer going up very shortly, so that, you know, all the details that will be happening. We'll have Coach Mickey Cholina there. We'll have President Pavel Yusup. We'll have a number of players, we believe, 18s, 20s may be coming along as well.
Girls, that's right.
We'd love to have someone live from the girls' team join us up on the panel. Get down there, have something to eat. Like we said, 50% off Knights members. Show your membership card for meals and drinks. And we'll do our best to entertain you for the evening and set ourselves up for the second half of the year.
Yeah, it's going to be massive. So remember, Melbourne Knights fans, if you're a member, you've got 50% off all food and drinks on the night. We want to see you there, but if you can just let us know if you're coming, just so we can get numbers sorted, and you can email us at events@melbourneknights.com.au, and just let us know if you're coming and how many of you are coming. But we'd love to see as many of your smiling faces there as possible.
I've missed a fair few games over the last couple of weeks, so you might not know. I'm actually rehearsing and will be performing on a tour of Croatia starting the 3rd of July with folkloric group Mladi Hrvati from Clifton Hill. So somebody will be taking my place. And that's what I wouldn't mind asking. If there's anyone out there that reckons they can fill my shoes between the 1st of July and probably about the 17th of August, put your hand up, get in. We can rotate it. We can do trials. So Marta knows what it's like to do trials. Come in, do a week. If you're no good, we can you, and we put the next person on. Or do you have someone you'd like to see sitting in this place for a month and a half to take my place as a guest host of the Night Train over those couple of weeks.
I was hoping you weren't going to bring it up and just pretend that you're here because people are not going to listen.
Nah, they'll listen, mate. We've got a very, very loyal audience. But, yeah, so the rehearsals are going great. I'm the lead vocal for the adult group.
And the other thing as well, you would have maybe seen the FFA Cup coming round. So there was 16 teams left in Victoria. 9 of them were NPL 2 or lower. And we drew our good friends over at Avondale FC. I think it's a good time as any for them to lose their first game of the year. So that will be, I think, on the Wednesday following the Oakley game. So I think the 29th of May, that will be a home game and more than likely a 7:45 kickoff. And what's wrong?
20 seconds, says Tony.
22nd? Oh, really? I thought it was the 29th. You text. Oh, so you know this for sure. Look, it's not unusual for me not to know.
The information's available online. If you're listening to this show to look for fixture times, then I think you're doing something wrong. It's not an efficient way to plan your
If you're tuning in to get any sort of information at all, you've got to get your head read. Oh, there you go. It is 7:30 p.m. But it says to be announced. Round 8, 7:30 p.m. Melbourne Knights versus Avondale FC. At all. From what I know, all 20 Avondale fans are welcome to the game as well. You can all come down. I'm sure we can accommodate you over there.
There you go. Date is not confirmed. So Mark Ivkovic from the committee saying the date has yet to be confirmed. Looks likely in 29th at this stage, but we will wait and see. Now, a bit of love for some of Rob's future co-hosts. Steve Vukasovic, who hosted with me one evening, has been mentioned. Mark Sheelich has been mentioned there by Rob and Ruj Mikulic, so it would be great to get Mark on the show, but he was the one that dropped the F-bomb first on the show. So
yeah, he was.
We'll have to see, but it would be great to...
Yeah. Oh, Wally would be a good one too.
Wally's got some history. He's worked at another radio station back in the day with Steve Vukasovic and Ilija Dragicevic, so it would be great to get Wally on as well, but I'm sure we'll find a suitable replacement.
Yeah. Certainly need all the help I can get. That's for sure. But you've got a bit of a mini song for us tonight.
Oh, mate, to be honest, I'm going to take my headphones off and walk off. I'm horrified. I'll cover my own ears. I was literally done this afternoon. It's just a little bit of something to get us through to next week. Next week's a big one. I'm putting a bit of pressure on myself. I want to sing it live. Possibly two songs, maybe a power ballad in the middle. So
I'm sure we can organise some live music.
That's right. Mickey, I'm going to have to get Mickey C to bring at least a snare and a bass drum and a cymbal because I need it to complement my imitation Fender while I'll be playing to wrap up the show. But if we can do it live, it'll be fantastic. I'll have to practice a lot this week. I haven't had too much time. I was out in Bendigo. I was in Fosterville this morning at a gold mine at 4 o'clock this morning, so I didn't have time to put some together. So in the car, sang a couple of lines, recorded it this afternoon. The kids are screaming in the background. It's pretty not up to my lofty standards, but enjoy anyway. Just a little snippet, hopefully, of much, much better things to come next week at our live show at St. Andrews. Yeah. But thank you to Marte Dugancic, and with pretty much all of the guests that we have had come in, it is an absolute ornament to our community. How well spoken was it?
Amazing. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was Mother's Day yesterday, so to the mothers and fathers that have brought up these kids that are in our community that will become the future leaders of our community and hopefully our clubs, you know.
The future's looking bright.
Yeah, we're both dads. Our kids are very small, but hopefully they grow up into the responsible men and basically the what do you call it, example to the young kids coming through. Have a look at Marta. We saw Nikola Jurkovic. We've had players come through. Hopefully we'll get some girls next week as well as role models as well. But yeah, thanks for coming in, mate. It was an absolute pleasure.
Yes, because the Lord knows that we're not a good example for the people out there. So
that's we hope to see you around the football traps in the short term. Once you get back from overseas, you get back involved, you get your A license, and we'd love to see you training at any level, and particularly our kids and our juniors coming through, if you could get a hold.
And we'd love to see the likes of Marte out there mentoring the kids, because he's obviously got a lot to offer the kids, and we really, really appreciate it for the longevity of our club and all of our clubs here in Australia. Once again, Marte, thanks heaps.
Cheers, thank you.
For coming in, and as Aunt has said, very well spoken. But get out on Friday night. Dandenong Thunder must win game. We have to win this one. 7:45 at Knight Stadium. If you don't know where that is, it's Lot 2, Summers Street, North Sunshine, 3020.
Must be.
Must be, Mike. Come. All right? And we'll thank you for came. All right? So anyway, well, let's go over to the song. And until Friday night and next week's gala extravaganza at St. Andrews Hotel, we bid you adieu.
with this wonderful tune.
Good night, Australia. This shirt, too ethnic for this shirt, so ethnic it hurts. I'm too ethnic, Lowy said, too ethnic, Lowy said, must be the shape of my head. I'm too ethnic for this code, too ethnic for this code, so I do folklore dancing. I'm a Croat, you know what I mean, and I wave my little flag at the soccer, at the soccer, at the soccer, yeah, I wave my little flag at the soccer.